Welcome to Have You Heard, where we talk about issues at the intersection of agriculture and engineering. Let's get started. Here are your hosts, Morgan Hayes and Josh Jackson.
Welcome. This is the Have You Heard podcast. This is episode 45. We're going to talk today a little bit about frost seeding clover. I'm Morgan Hayes, an assistant professor in biosystems and agricultural engineering here at the University of Kentucky, focusing on livestock facilities. And in my personal life, I farm in Boyle County, Kentucky with my husband. We have a 500-acre commercial cattle and hay operation.
Not Josh Jackson, also assistant professor in biosystems and agricultural engineering as well. And I farm in Mercer County, where my family and I raise registered Angus cattle and also focus some on goat production.
Okay, Josh. So before we get started on our topic today of frost seeding clover, tell us a little bit about what's been happening on the farm this week.
So this weekend was actually fairly busy. So we spent a significant amount of time because the ground was frozen that one day. I spent some hay, put out additional hay on one farm. And then because it was frozen, we went ahead and decided to clean out our one feeding barn. So that we spent a significant amount of time. We thought it'd be a half a day job, and it turned into 2 full days of spreading manure.
Yeah, you were busy. I will say that we had a fairly busy weekend as well. Family was in town, but we did take advantage Saturday of the frozen weather. And between, 6:30 a.m. and noon, we got quite a bit done. Got a lot of hay out, animals fed, all the good things that you'd hope to do when the weather's frozen. And also, one of our farms, we have one of our pieces of equipment is down, so they're getting protein tubs rather than feed.
Okay.
So those got put out as well, because those are not easy to put out when it's not dry.
Yeah. It's a lot easier with a skid steer, probably.
It would be easier with a skid steer, but we put them at the top of the hill, and rather than tear up the field, it's easier if it's frozen ground. We can take the truck, pick them up at the feed store, and then push them off of the back of the truck onto the ground.
Yep.
And not tear up the ground nearly as much. So if we have to, that is our solution, is carrying it up with either a four-wheel drive tractor or a skid steer. And our skid steer has pretty aggressive tires on it. But if we can avoid that and use the truck to do it, that's what we would prefer to do. And we were able to on Saturday morning. We weren't thinking we were going to have time, but everything went remarkably well. We broke a hay fork, but still was going remarkably well, and that we were able to get that done. I managed to drop one of them off of the back of the truck. That was a fail on my part. So I managed to get it back onto the bed of the truck with a little bit of assistance, which was more impressive. So they're heavy. For anyone that doesn't know, the protein tubs are about 200 pounds. I don't pick it up by myself. I'll be very honest about that. It's not possible. I rolled it up. Anyway, I got it. I got it back onto the bed of a truck, which was a feat.
Impressive, yeah, impressive feat in among itself. Yes.
So, yeah, so that's what happened. Other than that, we've been feeding hay, delivering hay. We had hay deliveries as well over the weekend.
Okay.
And just generally some maintenance and things like that on the house. That's been a continuous process as well. So.
The hay deliveries went well. It's kind of been drying up a little bit here.
It has been drying up. Thank goodness. We could use a couple drier days to put hay out and to do some things and not. And so that made hay delivery a little bit easier. Got a few different deliveries done over the past week.
Okay. Yeah. We did have the cows. They went ahead. We had to clean out the barn, kicked all the cows out, locked them out. But they went and visited a neighbor through a waterway. So we had to fix a waterway. After we get done with everything else, we fixed the waterway, water gap. So we had some gates up there, but apparently at some point with all the rain and debris, it washed into and pushed the gate over.
Okay.
So we went ahead and
repaired
and pushed them back up.
There you go. We actually had a calf come.
Really?
Not good for us, because our calving window doesn't start for another month and week. So we're a solid 5 weeks early on this calf. It's out of a heifer.
Preemie or?
Does not look to be preemie. I told my husband, if it's a preemie at 85 pounds, we've got bigger problems. An 85-pound calf out of a heifer bred to a low birth weight bull is not a good sign. So one of two things happened. Either this cow, this heifer cow likes to escape. Either she went to visit the bulls or the bulls went to visit her. I would lean towards the bulls have never been known to get out, and she's been known to get out quite a bit, that she went to visit the bulls and went back, and we never saw it. She doesn't tend to respect a hot fence particularly well. We actually sold another animal that was much worse about it, but potentially she and the other one went together, I guess, on a jaunt someday, and we did not realize it.
Okay.
Also, that means we are not sure exactly who the father is, because it was not in our breeding group in our breeding season. So there were multiple bulls together in between the two breeding seasons. So that's not ideal either. However, she had the calf without problem. She's nursing it fine.
Yep.
All is good. She actually got out the day before she calved, and we were like, this is weird that she's pushed out. Like, it's, and she's bagging down. It's a little early, but she's a heifer. They sometimes do this. This is not entirely a shock.
Yeah.
But we were keeping an eye on her because we thought it was pretty odd behavior in general.
Hmm.
And then she had a calf the next day. So apparently she was just trying to find her spot to
get away from the rest of the herd.
And get away from the rest of the herd. And that's what she did. So first calf of the year, a little early. I teach in the spring, so I normally do a calf watch with my class. But traditionally, it doesn't happen until after spring break. And this year, I guess we'll have to start it a little early.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep an eye out. Just
so.
It's always an interesting factor. You never know.
You would hope you would know. You're trying to control these things. But, I mean, things do happen. And the fact that we didn't know that this happened is even more amazing, actually.
Very shocking, almost.
Yes. Because that means she left and went back into her pen, and we didn't realize that she'd gotten out. That's
quite impressive.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a feat. That's what it is. We knew that they were trying to get out under a hot wire through exactly what you were talking about, through a waterway, and that they were going under an electric fence in one spot. But there were still two more fields to where the bulls were. So I'm actually a little surprised, because there was a pretty significant space between the bulls and the heifers prior to the breeding season. So she was a little bit more adventurous than I even thought she was. So that was our week on the farm. Lots of surprises.
But at least the weather's been surprisingly warm.
So it's been warm. Today we're getting a little bit of rain, but it looks like it's not going to be so aggressive as to make the ground
super wet.
We should be manageable for the next couple days, hopefully, on eating hay and such. So,
okay,
I think that's promising, at least.
Yeah, so. We had just had, you know, it's just past Groundhog's Day, and I talked to Matt Dixon. I was like, actually, the weather forecast looks like it's going to be warming trend.
Well, isn't it something like that? The Punxsutawney Phil is only like 40% right, or something like that.
Yeah. So Matt says, trust your weatherman as much as you can.
Okay. I will take that with a grain of salt, but. Matt's probably listening. You're welcome, Matt, that we're so supportive of you and all your efforts here in the department. Okay, so let's go on to our topic of today, which is frost-eating clover. And in theory, we had really nice weather for frost-eating clover because we had a good freeze this weekend.
Yes.
Did you take advantage of it?
Wasn't able to take it. We were spreading manure and everything else. We didn't have time to set up the equipment for another family member to run and
right.
spread seed. So we weren't able to see, but it would have been the ideal weekend because of that freezing to get out there, you know, solid ground and spread that seed. Yeah, it would have been ideal.
Yeah, we didn't either. And I don't know if that was a shame or not. For the most part, we've had pretty strong clover this past year with the drought. I'm curious to see what we get this year in some of our pastures. I did a talk earlier this week at Pastures Please, which is an extension event that was primarily for horse folks here in central Kentucky, and talked a little bit about equipment for pastures and for pasture renovations. And I have to say that, like, a broadcast spreader is so convenient.
Yes.
The demands that it has on equipment is pretty low. It seems like an obvious choice to broadcast, but this year I'm also not entirely sure what the weather is going to do. I think what's going to happen is it's wet enough and warm enough right now that stuff's going to come up, and I see it. I see my daffodils and similar early flowers are already, you know, not just emerging, but they're 3-4 inches tall, and I am not expecting them to do well this year. I'm thinking that they're going to die They might flower and then die. It might actually be one of those years where it doesn't get cold again until after they've flowered. But I can't believe that we're not going to see any more cold weather this year.
Yeah, it's we have a like almost a March weather pattern almost where it's just so warm and you have warm kind of warm days, so 60-ish, almost 50, 60s. And so it is fairly warm, and I think it's going to be trending that way. And so, yeah. You know, ideally, you know, we would like to spread seed this weekend, but I think we're still due a couple good freezes in my mind in March.
Yeah, I think we might get another one too. Although, like you said, Matt Dixon has said that this month does not look to be a very cold February based on the projections. So I don't know how true that is, but I'm sort of anticipating that March is not also going to be completely warm, that there's going to have to be at least one more good cold snap in March, early April. My husband's birthday is always right around Derby Day, and that is another notorious time of the year where we tend to get one more bizarre weather pattern in late April, early May. But hopefully not hard freezes at that point in the year, although we've seen snow before at that point, so I would hesitate to guess.
Yeah, it's you know, we were seeing, yeah, Matt and I were looking at the trend, and it's like we're seeing a decrease in number of like cold, like freezing days.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently taking place over, he's looked over the 30-year periods, and we're seeing a decreasing number. So it could, you know, could be that we may not see as many as we've seen in past years.
Right. Yeah.
But they're still evaluating that seed out because fertilizer prices, they aren't going down any.
No, they've been fairly stable and high.
Yes, and you know, I was hoping that over, you know, well, maybe over the winter. No, they've stayed mm-hmm. fairly high, and so with that, you know, having that nitrogen available from the clover.
Right.
The nitrogen fixation taking place in a field. And then also from the endophytic fescue standpoint, just the dilution of the toxic endophyte. Yeah, it's also beneficial. So we got to, you know, for the forage management standpoint, it makes a lot of sense to get out there and frost seed, and getting a broadcaster.
Yep.
Is helpful.
Yeah, having a broadcaster, and it's pretty easy to apply it, to attach a broadcast spreader to a variety of tractors. So it's not as, so like, let's say you wanted to use a no-till drill to seed it. You have to have a certain size tractor, and it has to have certain size and aggression on tires to make it through in the wintertime like this. But broadcast spreader is much more forgiving to a variety of pieces of equipment that you probably have on.
And even, you know, some of them actually have a little electric motor. So ours, We have it run on a RTV, essentially, and it just runs a little electric motor right off the battery, and so we'll be able to spread seed that way.
Yeah, that's really convenient. That's how some of our sprayers and stuff are, and that is convenient to not even have to take a tractor out in the field. So
it's a lot less weight, a lot less, you know, compaction taking place, and so ideally this weekend would have been great, but we just weren't able to get out there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And being the drone guy, they do have options for drones as well at this point too, for spreading seed.
Yeah.
And I think with that, you know, you're only putting down maybe 10 an acre. Well, depends on how much, I guess, you're putting down, which kind of stands you have already.
Right.
But yeah, there are options, I think, for some of the drones, and you switch out from a sprayer tank to a spreader, a broadcast spreader platform. And it's got scales on there. You do have to calibrate.
Yeah.
But you can also spread your clover with that.
Yeah, and I would think that for a lot of people in this area where we had pretty hard drought last fall, that there's a lot of people that have some bare soil. More aggressive grazing happened in the fall than maybe the people wanted. This is probably a very opportune year to do some broadcasting of clover, because there's definitely spots in the field that could use some cover, and it protects it from some weed pressure that we don't want coming in this spring if we can get something established.
And you know, the weed pressure, there is another little benefit if we're trying to get we tout this as well, just using some guidance system, potentially even a light bar. Yeah. That can help you make sure you don't overlap or spread too much, or you know, you're going down the path and allocating exactly how much is needed. Because a lot of those little spreaders have like settings will run at 5 miles per hour.
Right.
Well, having that guidance system helps you ensure that you're running at 5 miles per hour, and ensuring that also the proper
distance between your runs. Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion that people really think about some of those things, because I have overseeded a field before. I will admit it. It happens. Even after calibrating a better planter, I still have overseeded a field, and it's expensive if you really make a bad mistake in your math calculation.
It's diesel fuel, it's time, and so really, you know, depending on how much overlap, you know, I think its payback period might be about 200 some odd acres, depending.
Yep. Yeah, and I think, you know, there's even free GPS things on phone that some people have had a lot of success with. I think the precision on them is not always quite as good, but even that would be better than not running anything at all. So,
right.
Yeah.
It gives you at least some indication.
Yep. And I think some of them are better than others, depending on the phone and the software that's being used. So the interest.
Certainly, yeah, it's certainly opportunity, and you know, there's cost share. I think we've mentioned in the past available for the new technologies. So using those guidance systems,
I think that's a great point. So I think that's a pretty good summary on frost seeding clover. Unfortunately, we haven't done it, even though we put it down on our topic list because we both thought this was something that might happen around this time of the year, and the perfect weather for it this week.
We just
both missed the opportunity. So.
It's also perfect weather for other activities to take place on the farm.
That's true. That frozen ground, you have to take advantage of it when it occurs. And we were out of hay at one of our farms, so that had to be the priority. So get more hay out. What's happening on the farm this next week?
So this next week, we'll probably be still putting out hay, still working on equipment, trying to get things, just everything running for the upcoming year. And then also getting ready for upcoming farm show. And then, not on the farm, though, another opportunity, though, we do have our Kentucky Agricultural Training School is actually having a drone sprayer workshop.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to be March 27th and the 29th. So that'll be part led by BAE and the CATS school. So check out the Kentucky Agricultural Training School website for links.
Cool. That's a pretty good idea. Yeah. And for us, this next week, we're going to be putting out hay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not really a surprise. Feeding, delivering some hay, trying to get some things knocked out, some repair work that needs to happen. We're sort of figuring out, we've had a water tank that's been giving us a lot of fits. It's an older concrete tank and just getting deterioration. The ball system keeps breaking apart. We can't seem to get it to hold up well. I guess it's not really rust, but just breakdown of the metal components in that system. So we're just figuring out what we're going to do with that tank here come spring. Also getting ready to probably hire some fencing done. Just time is a premium right now for us. And so, to get some things done that we need to get done, we may hire some fencing. Aside from that, we just basic living right now.
Trying to survive.
Yeah, with the house fire, I know I've mentioned before, but the house is coming down this week. And so it's a tremendous amount more on top of a normal farm schedule. It's just figuring out where things are going, figuring out how things are getting thrown out, all of that. We're just working through a bunch of that stuff right now.
So. Just logistics, essentially.
Logistics. It's just a lot of logistics. And even with other people hired to do things like the teardown on the house, someone still needs to be around just to kind of figure out what's happening and make sure that it's being done appropriately, which is just more time that we don't really have currently. So we're working through all of that.
Okay. The challenges of being on the farm.
Yeah, it is. It's just a busy period in life in general, and then on top of it, this has happened. So we're figuring it out, but slowly.
Okay. Well, yeah. Make it work.
Yep. And so that's what's happening right now. We'll be back next week with another new podcast.
Yep.
And we will see you guys then.
All right. Take care.
Have You Heard is a production of the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, along with the Department of Biosystems and Agricultural Engineering. Discover what's wildly possible at ca.uky.edu.